church. Welcome to the Looking Both Ways podcast. It's been a while. I have been out because of the birth of our new son, but I am back and I'm excited. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to continue our series and just all of the things that are happening in our church, some exciting things that are coming up in our church and really monumental things as well that are coming up in our church. So as always, I am joined here with Pastor Rich, the fearless leader of Living Hope Church. Underneath God, obviously. But Rich, how are you doing?
Living the dream, as I always say.
That's awesome. I hope it's a good dream. Well, hey, so we are still in our series called New, which mm-hmm. is a series through Ephesians. Right. And actually, this will be great because I wasn't here last week. So I would love for you to kind of, for all of our listeners, kind of fill us in, give us those main points from last week, but then also help us look forward to next week or this coming Sunday. And so let's start with the first part. So what are kind of some main high points, the big takeaways that you wanted people to come away with from Sunday?
Well, we were in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. And the main point of there is Paul says, live worthy of the manner in which you were called, putting it succinctly. And that's the main point of the first six verses of Ephesians 4, to live in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And so he starts his application part here, and we talked about how we've, all those things we've talked about in Ephesians 1 through 3, about what God has done for us, who we are in Christ, how he uses the church to manifest all of these things. And then we are to live worthy of that which God has done for us, because he takes that as the impetus to take off for the rest of the book in chapters 4, 5, and 6. And so we talk through living in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, and trying to understand what that is. And that's a challenge for all of us. And we worked through all of those things as well. And just, you were called, we are all called to do something. Those are the good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. And now we're going to move into, as we go into this week, the last, more of a chapter 4, the title this week is The Necessity of Diversity. And what Paul starts going into there is, it's not only that we're diverse as a church or the community we live in, or as men, male, female, our ethnic makeup, it's the diversity of giftings that God gives us in order for us as a church to function and to do what we call church. And so he talks about, he basically uses the teaching offices, you know, apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers as the impetus. That isn't everything, but he just uses as the impetus. And there, our job is to equip the church for the work of ministry. That's living worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And so we'll talk this week about our spiritual gifts, and having spiritual gifts, how we all have one, how we have a responsibility to use them for the church, to build the church. And that's evidence of the maturity of growing in our faith. If discipleship is about being conforming to the image of his son, then part of that is using our gift in the church to build the body and to grow his kingdom and to do all the things that he saved us to do. And so we'll talk through that. Spiritual gifts is always a fun thing to talk about. Everybody says they don't have one, but everybody has at least one. I always like to tell people, if you say you don't have a spiritual gift, then I need to talk to you about Jesus, because if you're saved, you have at least one. My experience is that most people have more than one. And so as they're manifested over time. And one of the points I make this Sunday is, we don't get to choose that gift. Jesus does. And that's a really important thing to worry about. There's a lot of projection of gifts on other people. So if you're good at teaching, a lot of people like to think everybody should be able to teach. Well, that's not true. If somebody's not a good teacher, they may be better at service or administration or any of those things. That's their calling. That's what they're supposed to do to help the church grow. And so that's how God works and knits all this craziness together that we call church to come together. And you know, it's a big responsibility for you and me. This is what we're called to do. It's hard. Some things are hard to equip. We have a skate riot ministry. I'm like, I remember when Jason and Amanda came to me with this idea. I'm like, I don't know word one thing about skate riot doing ministry. Well, they kind of knew how to do that, but they needed me to come back with what I knew to do to be able to help them to take off with it, which came with being able to procure the trailer. and then, you know, how to organize and to move forward, let so that they can do it them, you know, manifest that thing. And so that's what we're doing. When we equip, we are empowering the people of the church to do ministry, and we got to let them use their gifts. That's why you hear we talk a lot about service, Tim. And so we talking a lot about service, and this service, this sermon will tie directly into what we talk about all the time. Everybody has a part to play because that's what makes us a body.
Well, and that leads me to this question. What's at stake if we don't, you know, when we think of the grand scheme of eternity, you know, I think one of the reasons why people might not step up to serve is they think it's a small thing, right? Like, okay, you know, serving in the kids ministry is a small thing, or serving in the coffee ministry, what impact is that going to have? Or somebody else will do it, right? That thought of like, well, somebody else will do it that has more time. You know, I don't have time. But when we think of, you know, ultimately when Ecclesiastes 3 said that God has put eternity in our hearts, when we evaluate eternity and we evaluate what's at stake eternally and for God's kingdom, why is it so important for us to step up and use our gifts, not just locally in our church here, but in a broader ministry context?
Well, I think as we think about eternity, we're not talking, when we talk about using or not using our gifts, we're not talking about whether or not you're going to lose your salvation. Let's get that off, because some people try to go, when you say language like that, some people run to that. So let's take that off the table first. What we are talking about is when you don't exercise your gift, you're being disobedient to God. That's the first thing. The second thing is you are neglecting the people whom you say you love that you serve with together. Paul says that when one part of the body doesn't work right, it affects everything else. We all know this to be true. If you've broken a bone, if you've broken a toe or a finger, or you don't hear right, or, you know, I have trouble, you know, my hearing's starting to go, and at my point in life, I have multiple sclerosis. Many people know that already. That affects many parts of my body. When we don't all fulfill our part, it affects our ability as a body to be all that God wants us to be. And it makes God have to, and I just say it this way, it makes God have to kind of work around us who don't want to serve. He's going to do what he wants to get done. And so he calls people to himself, and we miss out. What people don't get a lot of times, and you know this to be true, Tim, is that you are more blessed to serve. But we don't live in a culture that says you're more blessed to serve. We give lip service to it, but you and I both know that as blessed as we may have with what we receive, we are more blessed when we're able to bless others and to serve them and to see other people do that. This is why Paul didn't baptize anybody. He got joy out of watching people he was helping to grow in their faith do those things. Jesus didn't baptize. He let the apostles do as much as they possibly could so that they could get the joy of serving and to do that. And it's the same thing in the church and doing that.
Well, and you mentioned too, just again, you miss out, right? You know, I love to think about what are you going to talk about at the table? You know, I just mentioned that to you earlier. Sorry, I was having some technical difficulties earlier, but what are you going to talk about at the table? We have all of eternity. You're going to be amongst these people that have, you know, all throughout history, sacrificed their lives, their time, their sometimes their families, for the sake of God's glory. Right. And you know, what are you doing? And again, it's not the works that save you, right? We don't do things so that we can be saved. We do things because we've been saved. And it's something that if you enjoy, you should want others to enjoy. And that's what heaven is. It's a great aspect of heaven is the fact that we are serving, right? I mean, just like Adam in the garden was serving, and God could have named all the animals, but he let Adam be a part of that. He equipped him and allowed him to be a part of that mission. So especially for us as a church, you know, I think the big message is spiritual gifts can be confusing, right? Because you can think, okay, am I shooting lightning out of my fingertips? Can I make people float? Can I heal your wound? Can I, you know, babble in some language that I've never learned? Man, it is so much more than that. And so I'm excited to go to there because I don't think that the church really knows enough about what a spiritual gift is and how impactful it is, but really why God gave you those things. And so,
and I describe a spiritual gift as it's something from God, and it's a gift. It's a skill or talent that you have post becoming a follower of Jesus that you didn't have before you were a follower of Jesus, per se, in that area, whether it's, you know, service, encouragement, whatever it may be. Because it's amazing how many encouraging or encouraging people I've met who come from a background of that was really rough, where they weren't encouraged, but now all of a sudden God has changed them, and they're one of the, they're like big encouragers, and because God saved them, and they didn't have that before, but now this person with gruff that was part of their personality is no longer that way. That's transformation. I wasn't much of a public speaker. In fact, I didn't really like public speaking at all before I became a follower of Jesus. And, you know, God equips us to do what he saved us to do. And that's what people, I think, miss out on, is God's not asking you to do something he's not going to prepare you to do. He doesn't work that way. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be fulfilled. He wants you to find fulfillment and to feed your soul through what you do. And I think the other thing too is some people have such low views of the church that they may have these gifts, and they say, well, I'm going to use them outside of the community and not within the church. And I'm like, nah, Paul's pretty clear that you're supposed to use it for the church first. The gifts are to build the body. And that's where you're first. And I think sometimes people get caught up in the other things they do outside that may use their gifts, but they don't use them in the church for whatever reason that is. And there obviously there's a lot of reasons that people can go with that. But I just really think that I agree with you. We don't understand. They think in terms of what you talked about, metaphysical, or they think in terms of Star Wars,
yeah,
or something like that. And the gifts are infinitely practical. And it's not the fruit of the Spirit either. Everybody has the fruit of the Spirit, but not all of us have the same gifts. That's really important to distinguish as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And again, I think it is an extremely important and valuable topic. And so I really look forward to getting into that this Sunday. So we're excited to have you all join us this week as we start talking about this. Start preparing your heart. Maybe hop on somewhere. There are thousands of them. I don't know if you can recommend a good one, but take a spiritual gifts test and kind of come with that ready to kind of maybe ask some questions. Okay, this is what my results were. Can you kind of help me see what that looks like in the church? I know up in the youth room, we actually have a whole center where it's a bunch of pamphlets, and you actually take the test. And then we have a bunch of other pamphlets that explain what each spiritual gift is and really easy to understand, a couple sentences. And then also the different areas in our church where you would most be suited to use those gifts. So if you want to use that resource up in the youth room, go for it. Mm-hmm. But maybe come prepared for that on Sunday. So, yeah.
And in the Rooted course is a whole section on spiritual gifts as well. If you go through Rooted, you will take there's a couple of them to choose from. I like one better than the other. In as far as what it shares, but you're right. There's a zillion of them out there, but you just want to, they seem to have done a pretty good job on those two, or at least the one that I really like in really examining those kinds of things and relating to it. And because it's all part of shape. I'll talk about shape as well. Spiritual gifts, your heart, which is your passion, your abilities, your personality, and your experience. God shapes you with all of that. Spiritual gifts is one very important, obvious component to it, but all of those help to define who you are and help to define the story you get to share as you minister to other people. Your painful experiences are not my painful experiences. You may have the same gift, but a different experience, which would help you to minister to somebody differently than I could, and vice versa. It's really, it's very cool how God, if we believe God can make the universe as intricately as he does, then we should be able to believe that he can use all of us and all of our stuff to be able to build him, build and do that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Serving God and serving others. When Jesus summed up all of the commandments, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others, and serve each other, outdo one another in showing honor. I mean, this is very, very biblical. So I look forward to that. Thank you so much for your time, Pastor Rich. And for all of you that are listening, you know, come prepared, prepare your heart, and don't leave on Sunday without asking yourself, okay, what are my gifts? And if you do figure out what they are, then don't leave without asking yourself, how can God use me for his kingdom here?
Yeah. Let me just real quick announce just for those adults who may be here this weekend, or anybody, 8 o'clock here at the church. We're going to prayer walk the building and facility in light of the things we're dealing with in our church life. It's really just an organic thing, but we are going to come together as a church and prayer walk. And if you've never prayer walked before, I encourage you to come be a part of that as well. We'll meet here at 8 o'clock. So I encourage you to come and be a part of that at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Probably take a couple hours, maybe a couple hours most out of your morning and be a part of that. All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much again for listening. This is the Looking Both Ways podcast. We really do genuinely look forward to seeing you on Sunday as we continue to move forward as a church, and we will see you then.